folks. This is Pastor Mike Hargrett coming to you from Watchmen Studios with another Watchmen video broadcast. Part two of what we started last week, dealing with the last trump. Of course, this is our Bible Truth on the Rapture series. And we're just going to deal with what the Apostle Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So Paul specifically mentions that this change, the translation of the church, takes place at the last trump. Now, we dealt with last week the issue of whether or not this was Revelation chapter 4. And again, I just don't see the events described here and described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to read that. I don't see those events taking place in Revelation chapter 4. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So in Revelation chapter 4, we don't see us meeting Christ in the air, us rising up, the Lord descending from heaven. Revelation chapter 4, when John hears the voice as of a trump, which is Christ's voice, I believe, that voice and Christ are already in heaven, and he tells him to come up hither, meaning that John goes from the earth into heaven. It doesn't match 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What then could it mean? We go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He mentions the last trump. And so I believe that that is a reference to the seventh trumpet. Let's go to Revelation chapter 10, verse 6. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. We dealt with that last week. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, back in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. Revelation chapter 10, he said, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. So, 1 Corinthians 15, Revelation 10, they both deal with, number one, the mystery revealed. Number two, they both deal with the sounding of the trump, and 1 Corinthians 15 mentions the last trump. Revelation chapter 10 mentions the seventh trump. And of course, we know that there are only seven trumpets that sound. And after that, in the book of Revelation, there are no more trumpets. So, and again, I highly respect those who would say Revelation chapter 4 is what we believe to be the trumpet being referred to here, and the voice come up hither is the rapture. I respect that. I disagree with it. But again, we're not to use these things as weapons against one another. We are supposed to use these, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And so, I don't agree with some people. Some people don't agree with me. But the truth of it is, God is true. God knows what he means when he says all of these things that he says in the Scripture. Christ knows what the Father means when he said, lo, in the volume of the book I come to do thy will, O God. So we know that Christ knows what it means. We know that God knows what it means. We know that the Holy Spirit knows what it means. So we're just going to let God do what God is going to do, and us fighting about it isn't going to change God's mind any way, shape, or form. All right? So with that being said, what I want to do in this particular episode, and I mentioned it last week, we're going to look at what he said in 1 Corinthians 15, "Behold, I show you a mystery." We're going to look at Revelation chapter 10, "The mystery of God should be finished as he declared to his servants the prophets." So what we're going to do is we're going to look in the scriptures and find out what the mystery is that the Apostle Paul was referring to and how it applies to this particular passage of scripture here. Now, Revelation 10, very, very interesting chapter in the Bible. And on the last two episodes of the Pastor Mike Online live broadcast, and we have those on YouTube, we have them on Sermon Audio, you can find them. We dealt with what I believe to be the identification of the mighty angel, which comes down from heaven. He's clothed with a cloud, he has a rainbow over his head, his feet are as pillars of fire, his face is as the sun, he has a little book in his hand open. When he opens his mouth and speaks, it sounds like the roaring of a lion. I happen to believe that that is Jesus Christ. Now, again, I could be wrong, but I lay out the case in those 4 hours of me going through Scripture, showing why I believe what I believe. Again, this is what I'm going to do today. We're going to go through the Scriptures. We're going to look at the references of Christ, the Apostle Paul, or others, talking about the mystery of God being finished at the sounding of the last trump. So, let's go to one of the first places in the Bible we find the word mystery. The word mystery, incidentally, is a New Testament term. You don't find it anywhere in the Old Testament. Here's what else is interesting, and I know I've mentioned this. The word mystery is found 22 times in the King James Bible. Now, you would think, mystery, oh, it's a secret. We don't know what it is. The number 22 is the number for revelation. Every time you find the word mystery in the Bible, it's revealed. Something is revealed. And all these things that are a mystery, I think, are going to be revealed finally at the culmination of everything, at the sounding of the seventh trumpet. I think whoever it is that these things are still a mystery to, that mystery becomes unfolded and becomes revealed to them at the sounding, or at the beginning of the sounding of the seventh trumpet. So let's take a look at the scriptures. Let's try to get some wisdom as to what exactly this mystery is. There are different things that go along with it, and how they point to the sounding of that seventh trumpet, the translation of the church, and the restoration of salvation, a covenant, to the people of Israel. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Now, again, this is what I said. When you find the word mystery or mysteries in the Bible, it's a revelation. Christ is going to teach you, either himself or through the Apostle Paul or through John, he's going to teach you what this mystery is. And he said, "It is unto you, it is given to know what these mysteries are." And now he's going to explain. In that context, he's going to explain the parable that he just gave. The parable that he just gave was the parable of the seed and the sower. You know, the sower takes the seed, and some falls by the wayside, fowls of the air come down and eat it up. Some fall upon stony ground, and it, you know, kind of rises up for a little bit, but then the sun comes out, burns it up, and because it's on stony ground, doesn't bring forth any fruit. And I'm paraphrasing all of this, okay? If you want to read the whole thing, then go back to Matthew chapter 13. Then he says some fell among thorny ground, and the thorns choked it out so that it couldn't bear any fruit. Then some fell upon good ground and brought forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. So then he says, even though I speak in parables, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So let's look and see what he said pertaining to the mystery of God being finished. Because I really do believe that this parable has everything to do with the preaching and teaching of God's word in the last days. Some are going to receive that, some are not, and we're going to find out the difference. Matthew chapter 13, verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. In other gospels, it's explained that that is Satan, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when, here we go, tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100, some 60, and some 30. Now I want you to notice that I have tribulation or persecution ariseth. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24, because he specifically mentioned that in relation to the sounding of the trumpet, the gathering together of his people. Matthew 24, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, because he mentions here, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. The moon shall not give her light. Flip my page here. The stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. In the Pastor Michael Online broadcast, I spend a little bit of time dealing with the fact that this mighty angel was clothed in the clouds, how I believe that that is Christ, and the sign of his appearing is that he appears in the clouds. That's what Matthew 24 is teaching. We have the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with the sound of a great trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So, the idea of the mystery of God coming to pass, there is a time of tribulation, here a time of tribulation, and that tribulation is because of the word. And I think that during this time, and again, I don't think the Bible is teaching us that a period of tribulation lasts 7 years. That doctrine was developed by, I don't think it was developed by one man in particular, but it was developed by man. But I don't see it written out in the scriptures. So I'm not saying this lasts 7 years. I'm not even saying that it lasts 3.5 years. I think there are other time prophecies other than 7 years or 3.5 years or 42 months or a time, times, and a dividing of times. I think all of those apply to the same thing. But I don't see the Bible ascribing those times with the word tribulation. So I do think there is a time of tribulation, the tribulation of those days, and definitely according to Matthew 13 in that parable, there are some who sit in churches, receive the word with gladness, but they have stony hearts. There are things that they're just not going to believe about the word of God. And because of the word of God, when tribulation or persecution arises, it is revealed who they really are. The mystery of God is going to be finished, and there are those who pretend to be Christians, and it turns out that they're not. But those who are true, born-again believers of the Word, tribulation does not separate them from the love of God. That's what the Apostle Paul teaches us. So I think part of the mystery of God being finished in the days of the sounding of the seventh trump, I think that is immediately after the tribulation of those days. Because the Son of Man appears, his sign is that he appears in the clouds, and with the sound of a great trumpet, he gathers together all of his elect. Let's move on. Romans chapter 11. Because now we're going to throw in something else that we have been talking about, relation to the rapture. The story of Elijah and Elisha teaches us that when Elijah is translated into heaven, going from earth to heaven without seeing death, we see that Elisha receives the double portion of the Spirit. I believe Elijah is the Gentiles. I believe Elisha is Israel. So now, keeping in mind that at the blowing of the seventh trumpet, the last trump, the mystery of God should be finished, let's see what is in store for the nation of Israel. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. I love this, because it tells us that, number one, we know that the Jews, the people of Israel, they are all in unbelief concerning the Messiah. Should we hold that against them? Think about it. At one time, you and I were in unbelief. And yet God and His Spirit and His Word broke through in our hearts. God called us. God saved us. God put His Spirit upon us, just like Elijah. When Elisha asked Elijah, you know, give me the double portion of your spirit, Elijah didn't say, what, you an idiot? I ain't giving you nothing. He didn't say that. He said, if you see me go, if you're here when you see me go, then you shall have it. If you remember, if you go back to that particular teaching, I don't remember which one it was, basically what that means is the generation of the Jews that sees the Gentile church going to heaven, they're going to get the double portion of the Spirit. So think about it. The mystery of God is in effect right now as far as Israel is concerned. They don't understand the mystery. Do you know why? They don't read the New Testament. They don't read the places in the New Testament where it says, oh, I'm going to show you what the mystery is. They don't read it. They don't believe it. Even if they did read it, they don't believe it. They're blind in part. There's a veil when they read the Old Testament. They don't get it. So at the sounding of the seventh trump, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God is going to be finished. And what's going to happen is, Israel, instead of being partially blind, they're not going to be fully blind. God's going to lift the veil of Moses. And they're going to see who their Messiah is. Because the mystery of God is going to be finished. But when is it going to be finished? When the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. It's like God says, okay, got enough Gentiles here. Okay, no, you're the last. No more Gentiles after you. We're done here, all right? We're done with the Gentiles. I've got enough Gentiles. I want some Jews now. That's what God's going to do. The fullness of the Gentiles is going to come in. Sounding of the seventh trumpet. The mystery of God is going to be finished. Blindness in part is going to be done away with Israel. They're going to see. Go read all the stories where Jesus healed blind people. When he gave them their sight. That, I believe that's a picture of Israel getting their sight in the last days. Let's move on. 1 Corinthians 15, we've already read that, but let's read it again in relation to the mystery of God. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Stop right here. Let's go back. First place we find the word mystery. Matthew 13. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, they are the same thing. Okay? In fact, you do the study. PureBibleSearch.com, download a free copy of it. Linux, Mac, Windows, works on Windows 10, works great. I have it. I have it on a Linux computer. I have it on a Windows. I have it on every Linux Windows computer I have. I have it on a Windows Lenovo tablet. Okay, it's kind of like one of those hybrid things, and it works amazingly well. Type in mystery or the kingdom of heaven. Look at all the verses that talk about kingdom of heaven. Then type in kingdom of God. Look at all the verses that talk about kingdom of God. You know what you're going to find out? That all the verses, like in Matthew, that mention kingdom of heaven, you're going to find out that in the other Gospels, like Mark and Luke, where it says kingdom of God, it's the same story, same passages. They're synoptic with each other. In fact, there's one place, I think it's got to be in the book of Matthew, where Jesus says kingdom of heaven in one verse, kingdom of God in the very next sentence. And they both are referring to the same thing. Why do I say that? Because there are some people out there that say, oh, there's a difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Well, I kept hearing that, and I studied it out, and I'm telling you, if you'll do that, if you'll make that list of kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, and compare the verses, you'll see that it is one way and another way of saying the identical thing. So here, the mystery, Matthew 13, I'm going to show you the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And then 1 Corinthians 15, he said, I'm going to show you, or he says, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God as far as being flesh and blood is concerned, and I'm going to show you a mystery. It's the kingdom of God coming to pass because Christ is about ready to take over this earth and initiate his kingdom on planet earth. He comes back in Revelation 19, riding a white horse, and there are saints coming with him. This is what Enoch was prophesying of in Jude. The Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. That's us coming back to reign with him in his kingdom. But we can't reign with Christ if we are still flesh and blood. So, we have to be changed. So let's go back. 1 Corinthians 15. This I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound. Just like in Matthew 24, just like in Revelation 10, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now again, when I'm looking at like Revelation 10, and I see the proclamation that the mystery of God is finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophets, and I see that number one, blindness in part, being part of that mystery is going to be over with. Now Israel's going to see. The mystery of we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. The dead in Christ are going to rise. We're going to be raised up with a brand new body without having died out of the old one first. That's just like Elijah. I see that as part of the mystery. That mystery is going to take place and be fulfilled at the sounding of the seventh trump. The mystery of God should be finished. In the previous verse, it's time no longer, which means it's time now. All of this time that has come to pass, it stops right here. And we're going to conclude all of this mystery business right here and right now. Let's move on. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Notice what he says here is the mystery of his will. That in the dispensation of when? The fullness of times. That is time no longer. He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So again, in conjunction with the mystery that he wants to teach us, having made known unto us the mystery, is again, I got to say this, every time you find the word mystery, he's going, we're going to make you know the mystery. That's what he's teaching here. Behold, I show you a mystery. Beloved, be not ignorant of this mystery. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries. God explains to us, the Gentiles, in the New Testament, exactly what that mystery is. And it involves Israel and their salvation. It involves us and our translation. And he says it here. The mystery of his will is that in the fullness of times, there should be time no longer. What's going to happen? Christ is going to gather together. That's what he said. If we go back to, my goodness, see, it all fits. Matthew 24, I don't think I can turn these verses fast enough in my Bible as fast as I'm thinking these things through. That then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man, and then with the sound of the trumpet he shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That's what he says here, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Two groups. He's going to gather together the Gentile saints. Then he's going to gather together the people of Israel. You see, should I dare bring this up? I think I will. Revelation chapter 7. We have two groups of people here identified, plainly identified in Revelation chapter 7. We have the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay? They are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. They are the gathered together, sealed people of God now. Because now that they have the Holy Ghost, they know who the Messiah is. And then, we have another group of people. We have people of all, this is Revelation 7, 9, people of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. That's all the Gentiles. They stood before the throne, before the Lamb. They're in heaven, right? And they got white robes, palms in their hands, and so on. And the angel asked John, who are these that are arrayed? And John said, sir, thou knowest. And the angel said, these are they which came out of great tribulation. Matthew 24, again, is telling us that after the tribulation, these are for you to say, of those days, Christ is going to appear in the clouds. He's going to gather together his elect at the sound of a great trumpet. I just think that all of these verses connect. I think comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, we are seeing the timing and the events related to translation of God's people. And again, I've studied these things now for the last 20 years, having thrown everything out that I had ever learned and asking God, teach me from the scriptures. And how we have approached this subject here in this whole series we've done on the translation, that we've not gone with commentaries, we've not gone with the books and the Bible scholars, and we've not gone with denominational teachings, and we've just the Bible and only the Bible. And I just see that Revelation 10, the mystery of God being finished, sounding of the last trumpet, that's the translation of God's people when Christ gathers together his elect. And even if it is after a period of tribulation, you know, maybe I'll do a Watchman broadcast relating to this on tribulation and see what the Bible says, as opposed to what all the book writers have said over the years. Okay? And I don't want to make enemies. I don't want to make myself into something that, oh, don't listen to Mike Hoggard. He don't believe this and that and the other. If you want to accuse me of anything, accuse me of believing what this Bible says over what other men may say. And you, let me say this to you. You don't have to agree with me on any of this. But I just want to encourage you. You go to the scriptures yourself. You do the study. And then you be free to believe what you think the Bible is teaching you. And don't let any man take that away from you. See, if you know the truth makes you free. And instead of you feeling like you had to go along with what all the preachers were saying, or what all the people in the denomination, or what all the people at the Bible conference said, instead of you feeling like you had to agree with everybody just to get along with them, now you're free to believe whatever you want to believe, as long as you believe what this book tells you to believe. Okay? Is that fair enough? Ephesians chapter 3. Let's see what the Bible says. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me, see, there it is again, he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. He's talking about the Old Testament times. As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles, meaning, stop right here, meaning that not just Paul knew it. The other apostles had it revealed unto them as well. And the reason why I'm saying that is that some say that only Paul knew the mystery. No, Paul says right here the other apostles knew it. And the prophets, they knew it by the Spirit. They had it revealed to them too. Keep reading. As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, see there it is, there's the Gentiles, should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Wow. Three times in this passage here, he uses the word mystery. And he references in verse 3, as I wrote afore in a few words. What he's talking about there is what he said in Ephesians 1, the mystery of his will, that in the fullness of times he may gather together in one all things in Christ. He says that's the mystery that I wrote about before. And he said, God, by revelation, gave me that knowledge of the mystery. And he said, it's now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Peter knew it, James knew it, John knew it, Philip knew it. All of these guys knew it. That's what he said here, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Fellow heirs with who? Revelation 7. 12 tribes of Israel, mentioned by name, each tribe, and then the great multitude of kindreds, nations, people, and tongues. 1, 2, 3, 4. These are the people that believe the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Gentiles and the Jews together. God loves them all. And when the mystery, and I love this, and when the mystery of God is finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets, Israel's going to have the Holy Spirit. They're going to receive salvation. You and I are going to receive translation. God is good all the time because he makes us Gentiles fellow heirs. There's another place in Ephesians. Let me build up to it. Okay? It's in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 is where he says, you know, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, ladies, let me just tell you this. The church, our church, Bethel Church, your church where you go to, they're characterized in the Bible as a woman. And it's what he's saying here. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Women are supposed to portray what the church is supposed to be. The church is supposed to be submissive to the Lord Jesus Christ. However, us men, we're supposed to portray the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're supposed to love our wives unconditionally. You know, sometimes churches, they get out of hand, don't they? Sometimes churches say things they shouldn't say. Church people. Sometimes churches kind of act more like the world than they do Jesus Christ, right? And yet Christ still loves them unconditionally. And he gives them gifts to show his love. And he does that unconditionally. Because he knows down deep in their heart, they really do, the church really does, the real church really does love Jesus. And you know, sometimes guys, wives, they can kind of lay heavy burdens on us men. See, the church lays all of her burdens upon the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Okay? So, even, you know, the Bible talks about husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Christ, he's never bitter at his bride. He loves her. He knows that she is the weaker vessel. And so the things that she does, the things that she says, the ways that she acts, he's understanding of that because we as the church, the bride, are weaker than Christ the husband is. And God made it that way. So husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You give, husbands, you give love to your wives unconditionally. And you'll be like Christ in that. By the way, ladies, having a hard time giving reverence to your husband, I understand that. But let me tell you, the greater responsibility is on the man, because he is required to love you regardless how you treat him. He's required to love you unconditionally. Okay? It's not easy. Here's why I'm saying this. See, that whole picture here of wives submit to your husbands, husband loves your wives. He says, he culminates it in verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man, and he's quoting Genesis 2. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Let me put it up on the screen. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Do you get that? The beauty of this whole thing is the mystery that is going to be finished, Revelation 10, at the beginning of the sounding of the seventh trumpet, is Christ and his church finally joined together as one. Hallelujah. Amen. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, Paul said, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me. See, the word, let me stop right here. The word dispensation does not mean like a time frame. The word dispensation has the word dispense in it. And that's what, if you look at this verse, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me. God dispensed Paul's ministry to him, grace and free grace and the forgiveness of sins and the preaching of the gospel. So what did Paul do with it? He took what God gave to him and gave it to everybody else. Okay, that's what he's talking about. He said, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. One of these days, you and I are hoping for a better body, for a better way. We're hoping for a body that doesn't have the aches and pains that we have, doesn't have the diseases that we have, doesn't have the lusts and the pride that we have. We groan for this. And when the mystery of God is finished, when this mystery is over with, you and I will have that glorified body being joined with Christ for all of eternity. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Look at this. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached, here we go, unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. The culmination of the mystery of godliness, the very end of it is received up into glory. And I think that applies. Number one, it applied to Christ. He was received up. Number two, you and I received up into glory. 2 Thessalonians 2, now we have the opposite. We have the mystery of godliness, Christ, God in the flesh, right? Flip her upside down. Now we have the mystery of iniquity. God in Christ, God becoming flesh, God was manifest in the flesh, right? That's the mystery of godliness, Christ. The mystery of iniquity, Antichrist. Satan giving his power to the man of sin, the son of perdition. Satan himself being manifested in the form of a very evil, wicked man, the exact opposite of Jesus Christ, the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And that, let me stop right here. I've covered this many times, but I'm going to deal with it again. Because he talks about that day shall not come. What day? We have to look at the context. What comes up? Paul said, walk circumspectly. Let's look around verse 3 to see what he's talking about. Now we beseech you, brethren, this is verse 1 of chapter 2, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. That day shall not come, the gathering, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know. Here it is. Now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time, for the, here it is, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then, look at verse 8, and coordinate it with verse 7, the mystery of iniquity. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So we've been looking at this word mystery, seeing that in Revelation 10, when this, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he had declared to his servants the prophets. And I think that as of this time, at the sounding of the seventh trumpet, the mystery of iniquity already revealed. Because all the mysteries are going to be over with when that seventh trumpet sounds. Israel sees now, their blindness is taken away. They see who their Messiah is. They receive the double portion. The Gentiles are gathered together and taken up into heaven, translated, given their new body. And before that day happens, the Antichrist is revealed. The mystery of iniquity, that wicked shall be revealed. The exact opposite of the mystery of godliness. He is the mystery of iniquity. Satan giving his power, his seat, and great authority into the beast. Giving his seat references his throne. Whatever Satan ruled over, the beast is going to rule over. And he's going to be revealed. Because the mystery of God is going to be finished. As he has declared to his servants the prophets. One of the last places we find the word mystery. Revelation chapter 17, verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. You remember Jericho, 13 times, 13 words here. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus Christ. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. The angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee. See, there it is. I will tell thee the mystery of the woman. Every time the word mysteries is in the Bible, it's explained to us. I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. You see something there? Stop right here. Christ descends down from heaven. He's revealed in his power and his great glory, and we're caught up. We're going to meet him in the air. The mystery revealed about the beast, he does not descend from heaven. He ascends up out of the bottomless pit. You know, I heard something a couple years ago, really just sunk into my head here, that the Muslims, the religion of Islam, they're awaiting the return of some great imam, some great spiritual teacher, leader that has going to be take over the earth for Islam. And I was thinking that this great imam, this great Muslim leader and teacher was going to come down from heaven and take over the world for Islam. Boy, was I wrong. Come to find out, the return of this great Muslim jihadist doesn't come from heaven. He right now is down inside of a well, buried down there. And when the time is right, this great Muslim terrorist is going to ascend up out of that pit that he's in. Dun, dun, dun. Guess who that is? That's the beast. That's the Antichrist. Ascending up out of the bottomless pit. It's the exact opposite of Christ. The mystery is going to be finished. That beast is going to ascend out of that pit. Let's keep reading and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not. Yeah, it is. You've heard me talk about that phrase, like in the quantum world, how things can be two different things at the same time. This beast is not, yet is. This beast does not exist, yet he exists. This beast is dead, yet he's fully alive. This beast is totally blind, yet he can see. And you're going, oh, Pastor Mike, you're getting me there. I don't understand that at all. Exactly right. That's why the whole world wonders after him. Because he is like the conglomeration of opposites. And we're going, what is he? Okay? And nobody knows. Nobody figures it out. Except us, who have had the mystery of this beast revealed unto us. And I believe, you can agree or disagree, I love you. But I think that God is giving us enough knowledge about this beast, the Antichrist. Because I think there's going to be a generation of people, Christians, Gentiles, before the translation, that's going to see the revelation of that beast, and we're going to go, that's the Antichrist. That's the beast. Don't worship him. Now, we're going to be hated for that probably, but we're going to say, hey, we know the Bible. We know the mystery. That's not Jesus. No, it's not. That's not the world Messiah. That is the Antichrist. Okay? I think God revealing those mysteries to us, that mystery is going to be complete one of these days at the sounding of the seventh trumpet. I think we're going to know who that beast is. So, that leads us back to Revelation chapter 10. Let's read it one more time. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants, the prophet. And of course, then we're going to move over to Revelation chapter 11. Because in Revelation chapter 11, he actually then talks about the sounding of that seventh trumpet and what happens on that day. Let's look at it. Because to me, this is worth talking about just for a little bit. Because it's glorious. Because at the sounding of the seventh trumpet, Christ is finally initiating the time when he is going to take over everything. It's in preparation of His glorious return in Revelation 19. Let's look at it. Revelation 11:15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and Thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that Thou shouldest give reward unto Thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear Thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in His temple the ark of His testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Oh, I like it when He said the ark of His testament. Remember when we were talking about the trumpet and Jericho, and the ark of the covenant was with them as they marched around Jericho 6 times, 1 time a day, 6 days, 6 days, 7 times on the 7th day. Now we see the ark in heaven, which is the throne of God. And it's not the ark of the Old Testament. It's the ark of the New Testament. And what that says is Israel receives their new covenant, and it's an everlasting covenant. And Christ now is going to initiate His reign, and He's going to do so by what we see after this, the 7 last angels with vials in their hands. And every time they pour a vial out, it is the vial of the wrath of Almighty God poured out upon this world. You see, one thing I know for sure, according to the Bible, is that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. That is what the Bible says. But God hath not appointed us unto wrath. And so, and you say, well, Pastor, you know, there's some things in Revelation 11. Yeah, I understand that. And I don't know that I fully understand what He's talking about there, the beast and the two witnesses and the 3.5-year period. I don't, God hasn't let me see anything relating to that. But one thing I truly believe is that we are going to see Jesus. The mystery is going to be fulfilled at the last trump. Of that, I'm convinced. And I am very content to let God fulfill His word. Not my way. Not your way, not Hal Lindsey's way, not whoever draws all these charts with all these little things on them, and you know, Christ is here and the church age is here. God is going to fulfill His word, His way. And I trust this word, and I trust God enough to let Him do exactly what He said He was going to do according to His word. Maybe we will endure some tribulation. Maybe some people are right, maybe we won't. Either way, I want you to be comforted with the words of salvation, the words of God's mystery being revealed to us, the words of our translation and transformation. We're getting a new body, people. I want you to be comforted the way I'm comforted, and that is with the Word of God. If I encourage you in anything that I do or say, my encouragement to you is, open your Bible, King James, and read, and believe it, and study it, and then let God teach you great and mighty things that you know not. And I promise you, He will. God may very well, in fact, I hope He does, show you greater things than I know, greater things than I've seen. That's what I want out of you and for you. The whole purpose of the Watchman video broadcast is to awaken people to God's Word. The sounding of the sea. What does the Watchman do? Sounds the trumpet. The trumpet just gets God's people ready. Are you ready? Are you ready for the return of Jesus Christ? Are you ready for the translation of God's people? Are you going to be part of that wonderful group gathering of people when Jesus appears in the clouds? Are you going to be part of that? I hope you are. And if you're not sure, call upon the name of the Lord. Ask God to show you whether or not you're saved. Call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to save you. I promise you, God will answer you. God will save you. This is Pastor Mike. I love you. God bless you. Thank you so much for your prayers, your support for us. Keep it coming. We need it. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.